Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like you to reflect on something. What is the purpose of advertising? What is the purpose of all those stories that seem to be hinted at? Stories of happy people, all the pictures of food and golden beaches and careless laughter in shiny cars. What is the purpose? Is the purpose to let you know that there is a restaurant available if you are hungry, or a car dealership nearby when you need a new car? Is that just the purpose of ads? Well, I don't think so. In my humble opinion, the purpose of advertising is to stimulate cravings in us. Cravings not only for one gooey caramel fudge dessert, but for a repeat opportunity to eat those gooey fudgy caramel desserts whenever you want them. This is what you want, the ads declare to you. They tell you what you want. And the camera just lingers lovingly on the whipped cream as it's waving down upon the brownie. That just makes sure that you cannot have just one. You are going to go to that restaurant and you are going to keep coming back. You want to have the whole life that is portrayed on those ads. I want to buy a Chevy now, says the person in the ad, after they've been introduced to all the special features in the Chevy. And that is what we are supposed to be thinking too. I want that. I want to be bold and free and ready for anything, just like those people in the ad. Ads want you to want something, and they want you to keep on wanting it over and over again. And of course, they want you to buy what you want, or to buy something that you think will help you get what you want. You know this. This isn't something new. But does this mean that our cravings are completely outside our control? Are they not our responsibility at all? Are our desires simply something to be manipulated and played like an instrument? Well, the validity of our desires and cravings probably depend on what it is that we want. So what do you want? Think really fast. Just what's the top of your list? What comes to your mind first off? Do you want lunch? Do you want a pillow for your aching back? Do you want to finish that project that's on your work table? Do you want the Bengals to win? Do you want the Browns to win again? Do you want a new smartphone? Do you want some new yard decorations for Halloween? Do you want to get your Christmas shopping done early? Do you want to downsize and get rid of stuff? These are all some things you might find in the advertisements. These are things and services. There are stores there to help you. Now, of course, there's other things that you might want that you really can't buy. If you think about our congregation, you might want to see friends who've been out sick for a while. Or you might want a better life for homeless youth. You might want to see more young people in the pews. What do you want? And what is the outcome of your wanting? Well, the passage from James points out that some desires are not wise, and some of our desires lead to some bad outcomes. They lead to some bad things for us and for our community. Some desires are more like those endless cravings, obsessive and selfish and unhealthy. Some desires can lead to envy and ambition, which in turn can lead to disorder and conflicts and wickedness of every kind, James tells us. We get messages all the time that say, give in to your cravings, buy this, eat that. And even as I worked on this sermon, I heard a song, some of you may remember it, Constant Craving. Constant craving has always been. Marketing seeks to make us more insatiable, to want more and more, to never have enough, to never be satisfied. The thing that we want may be good in and of itself. I mean, there's nothing wrong with wanting your dinner. But sometimes the craving takes over and overwhelms the original goodness of the desire and subverts it for its own sake rather than for filling hunger. Now, a Christian way of life grows out of our relationship with God rather than out of our uncontrolled cravings. It doesn't grow out of the cravings that are awakened in us by a shrewd marketing. So instead of yearning after the newest gadget or the tastiest treat to fill our bottomless stomachs, what if we thought about desiring God? I think a Christian life seeks to desire the right things, and that means putting our desire for God first and foremost, becoming a friend of God, and being willing to consider that some of our other desires might get in the way. As James says, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes a friend of God, meaning not other people, but the values and the marketing of the world. For a friend of the world puts the cravings of the world first before God. Those of you who have been attending our Thursday class, our video class, have heard the teacher state that Christianity is characterized by an obsession with Jesus. And if you're like me, you heard that word obsession with Jesus and you kind of started you thinking a little bit. How are we obsessed with Jesus? Well, I never thought about it in that word, but Christians focus on Jesus. We ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? We pray to him. We wear his cross. We read his words over and over again. I think we are obsessed with Jesus. Christians have a craving for Jesus, we might even say. And I think that that is the kind of craving that can balance all of the other unhealthy cravings of our lives, the cravings instilled by the marketing of the world. James says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. A relationship with God will develop in us a life that is full of mercy and good fruits, like a tree planted by the water that's growing strong and surviving. A relationship with God can lead to a wholesome craving for the things that give life. When we focus our desires exclusively on the things of this world, it may lead, James says, to conflict and disputes, to envy. And this, James reminds us, is unfaithfulness to God. This is not wisdom. This is choosing the ways of the world over the ways of God. Now, God does want us to have good things, but the right things. And so we do not worship a God of the prosperity gospel. We do not worship a God who says, just believe in me and a shiny new Cadillac will be yours. That is not a God that I recognize. Instead, we worship the God of Israel, a God who is concerned about the poor, a God who desires justice and equity for all, a God who wants to give us peace and mercy. These are the right things. Peace and mercy, a harvest of righteousness with enough for all, not all of it for me. And these are the things that we should crave, the fruits of a relationship with God, not gold and silver that will tarnish, not objects that will break or cease to function or become obsolete. Perhaps cravings of some kind are part of life, but a Christian life that is seeking to become mature and complete is not satisfied with just pursuing things, not satisfied with just pursuing the transitory goods of food and drink and objects. A Christian life yearns for Christ craves friendship with God and seeks to turn away from anything that would get in the way of that friendship. This is true wisdom, wisdom from above. You alone are my heart's desire. You alone can satisfy, said our anthem this morning. These are the words of wisdom. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.